We're a team-led church, so if you see like Chad come up here, Pastor Chad, doing communion and giving my clicker, which I forget every week to bring up here. I told you, a lot of people make me look good. Skyler, Pastor Skyler, which was on the drums, you'll see him up here at times. Chad, Skyler, and I develop, or we are the team. And so we're just here to minister and just to bless you. And I love teams. Who here has ever tried to do something on your own? Yeah. Well, who here thinks that you do it the best? It's okay. You think you do something. Share it. Share what you know. Be a blessing. Okay, I'm going to teach you something. I'm just going to tell on myself right away. Could you bring the house lights up a tick? I like to see faces. There you are. Hi, Mary. I didn't see you sitting there. I'm telling my wife, as we're going through, we've been studying this book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster, through Scripture. We're all about Scripture. Books, I love when people are inspired by God and write things to help us, but we have to stay grounded in the Scripture so everything that we speak will be out of God's Word. If it's not, call me on it, because I need to be called on that. But I'm looking at everything that we've been studying, and the thing that was coming up for this week, I said to my wife, I said, I don't think I'm going to preach on that because I highly doubt anyone will go out and do anything with it. Do you feel belittled right now? I just have to apologize. I was being serious, but God's been just working. I love what he's doing within our church as he's just growing us, but just closer. Some of our altar calls have just, people are just, I guess there's an openness that maybe I haven't seen or felt for a while. And I wanted to keep that going, and I didn't want to take a week and say, well, let's not talk about something no one's going to follow. Does anyone have any idea what I'm going to talk about? Okay. But then I got convicted because it's throughout Scripture. If it's in Scripture, we should be impressing it upon our hearts. Amen? Okay. Raise your hand if you feel that prayer brings you closer to God. Raise your other hand if you feel that reading the Word of God brings you closer to God. Raise your foot if you think that fasting brings you closer to God. Okay, now, keep your hand up if you pray. Keep your hand up if you read the Bible. Keep your hand up if you have regular fasts in your life. And that's a point. And so I'm not here to shoot anyone down, but I thought, I'm going to speak about something. Who's going to go out and just start doing it all of a sudden? But there's something about fasting, a spiritual fast, that is so powerful that it is practiced throughout the Bible. And why has it become unpopular, or maybe it never was, but more so unpopular, even from the pulpit of talking about, if it's a something that brings such power. There's one scripture where the disciples are trying to pray over this boy who had a demonic spirit in him. And the dad comes to Jesus and says, your disciples are praying over my son, but the spirit isn't leaving. And Jesus says, this type of spirit only comes out through prayer and fasting. So we know there that there is a power in fasting. And I want to explain fasting, what it is, what it's for. But why has it become so unpopular? As I think it's the sacrifice that comes behind it. If there is a discipline in the Word of God that affects so many more things, it's probably fasting is probably the top of the list. If you're going to pray, what does that take? Anybody? It takes some time. And it takes other things. It takes a willingness. It takes a spirit that's saying, hey, you're going to come under an authority. But it takes time to pray. If you're going to read the Word of God, what does it take? Time, the ability to read or maybe listen if you listen to the Word of God. What does fasting, if you're going to fast meals for the sake of spending time with God and keeping your attention focused on God, what all sacrifices does that take? Anybody? What's a big one? Food. The physical. Who likes food? Who's under the impression that you need it on a daily basis? Who eats food 3 to 5 times a day? So the Bible is telling you something that you naturally do that's not wrong. Well, maybe, you know, donuts for dinner might be wrong, but you understand, we need food. The Bible's telling us something that's not wrong, that we're just supposed to stop it. And I think this is where the problem comes in. Our focus loses the reason on why we fast and focuses on the fast itself. Because through a fast, you're hungry. Through a fast, other people kind of notice. Anyone have a dinner table, you sit down with people and eat? Or maybe a break room where you're sitting with people, all of a sudden you're not, and that brings an attention. And so through a fast, there are things that Satan doesn't like you getting closer to God, so it seems like sometimes more things come in your head and mess with you. So there are so many things through a fast that we focus on. Sometimes it's hard to get through it and have actually focused on God. Listen to this a second. Scripture has so much to say about fasting that we should take a look once and again at the ancient discipline. The list of biblical personages who fasted reads like a who's who of Scripture. Moses, the lawgiver, David, the king, Elijah, the prophet, Esther, the queen, Daniel, the seer, Anna, the prophetess, Paul, the apostle, Jesus Christ, the incarnate son. Many of the great Christians throughout church history fasted and witnessed its value. Among them, even in our day, were Martin Luther King, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, and Charles Finnerly, Pastor Tsai of China. It names all these people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then even that we would know from our minds, some of them still alive today, actually, that have put fasting in. And these people are known for being godly men and women who have done some pretty amazing things. Do you think you are an amazing person? You are. You're created by God. Jesus died for you. He put within you gifts, individual. We differ in those, but you are an amazing person. So are these people. But why are they known? Moses, David, Paul, why are they known for being amazing? Because it was their faithful walk and what God did through them. And so if we live and stand for anything, I hope our legacy says, this is what God did through me. If you make an amazing amount of money, what's your legacy? It lies within that money. If you are tremendously popular because of a great singing voice, what's your legacy? Well, it's just that voice. And those legacies can die. But to do something within yourself that, man, I have this truth to get out into the world and just to minister and spread the good news. And that may sound intimidating, and we all do that in different ways because of our personalities and the way God made us. But if we can do that, where what you're giving is life-giving and it goes on, it's a gift that keeps on giving, that is an amazing legacy. And to leave that legacy, it takes a relationship with God. And so if I were to say, okay, church, you hear me preach all the time, what do I push really hard to you sometimes on a weekly basis? Anybody? Read the Bible. What else? Discipline? What's the thing I've been pushing the most lately? Listen. Act of solitude. So I think that through the Bible, through the Word of God, this is the truth. We need to have this in us. We need to be spiritually fed. So I say, do this on a daily basis, but then pray because we need that relationship. But then sit in solitude or stand. I like to sit. But just listen to God so that you can actually hear, God, what are you saying to me? I've read about you. I'm praying to you. Sometimes I've given you my laundry list of my needs. What do you want to speak to me? But a shortcoming, and I haven't pushed fasting, which is a step that we know gives tremendous amount of power. And as this book talks about, there's so much put on food that the fact of not having it, it's hard to focus on what a fast is when food is so prevalent in our lives. So I want to walk through some scriptures quickly with you just to give us a better understanding. A fast, to me, actually, it's a closeness with God. It's a desire that says, God, I just want to be that much closer to you. I want to hear that much better. I want to do that much more for you. I just desire you. That's the very center of a spiritual fast. And spiritual fasts change. I mean, I know people who have fasted a meal. And what it usually pertains of is this. If I'm going to fast, as I'm not eating, I'm praying, I'm seeking God, I'm in His Word, I'm listening. All the things that I normally push, you're doing those during that time. And what I love about the not eating fact of it is it's a reminder, why am I doing this? It's to press into God. And so, the Bible talks about how you fast. I'm going to read that scripture, and it's going to sound hypocritical. I'm going to share with you some experiences from my fasting, not to, hey, I want you to know that I do this or that, so please, I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I'm as a teaching tool, I want to share some of my fasts and some things I've learned through it. So fasting, I've had times where I just felt God say, you need to do this. I've had times where pastors have said, hey, I had a pastor one time say, I'm going to go on a 20-day fast for the sake of Easter. If you could join me on any of it, let's just pray for souls as they come in. And I thought in my mind, okay, I'm going to do this. Didn't tell a soul except for my wife because she needed to cook less. And I went on that 20-day fast because I wanted to honor my pastor, but I wanted great things to happen at Easter too, so I went on that. I had someone talk openly to a group of people about a 40-day fast. And I just felt God say, you need to do this. And so I went on that. Something hit me when I was youth pastoring about I want you to really hone in, and I want you to fast on a regular basis for your youth group. So every Tuesday and Wednesday, I would go on to fast like Monday night, and I wouldn't have a meal again until Wednesday after youth. I did that for 2 years just because I just wanted, God, I want everything you have for this youth. And so every Tuesday and Wednesday for 2 years, I just fasted for that. And then I went through a point of time, even the last few years, where I didn't really feel or seek, or if someone said, hey, when we're going on a Thailand trip a few months ago, they said, let's fast and pray. So I did. But I haven't felt anything to say, hey, you need to do this. And I somewhat got out of practice. So some may say, well, when do you do it, man? Do you once a week, once a year? When do you fast? You really have to seek God and allow Him to speak to you. I can't really give a great answer on that. What I know is Jesus throughout the New Testament talks about times of fasting, so He had somewhat of a regular basis. Honestly, I haven't lately, and this is kind of kicking me a bit to say I need to do something on a regular basis. I just desire to be that much closer to God. And so I think that's a desire that we all could say, yeah, I want to be closer to God. I want to do His will. If this world is just a blink of an eye, let's do everything we can for Him. Heaven awaits those who have Christ in their hearts. So let's be all we can be for Jesus. So what does this look like? Throughout Scripture, fasting refers to abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It stands in distinction to the hunger strike. It also is distinct from health dieting, which stresses abstinence from food for physical, not spiritual purposes. Biblical fasting always centers on the spiritual purposes. Like I said, the biggest distraction of fasting is everything else. If you're going on a fast, don't jump on the scale 3 times a day and see what you weigh. It's just not about that. It's about a closeness with God. When you're going on a fast, don't announce it to the world. It's not about that. It's about an obedience that you're saying, God, I want this from you. And He will honor that obedience in your walk. I've had it affect addictive behaviors, thoughts. I mean, I've had it just somewhat. They talk about how fasting is an actual thing, not even spiritual, about cleansing your body. But a spiritual fast just like cleanse your mind. Listen to this. When you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. The high priest, the head people, were fasting, and they wanted people to, oh my goodness, you are so spiritual. Look at him, man. His hair is all messed up. His eyes are drawn. I wonder how many days he loves God so much. I could never do that. And that's what these priests were going for. And that wasn't what it was about. It's not about me impressing you, you impressing. It's not about that at all. And so Jesus is teaching us there. Don't do that. I tell you the truth, that's the only reward that they're going to get. And that reward doesn't serve anyone else. And it's fleeting for the person receiving the reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father. Pay attention here. Your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. And we're not even doing it for a reward. We're doing it for a closeness to understand the will of God, to walk in obedience, to affect others for Christ. That fast is it's a drawing closer to God. Fasting must forever center on God. It must be God-initiated and God-ordained. Physical benefits, success in prayer, spiritual insights, these must never replace God at the center of our fasting. So if you struggle with this, you're saying, oh man, you're talking about this, wanting to be that close to God. Sometimes I don't even think about him that much. This is great. Who's ever heard of a paradigm shift? I've always loved that. It makes me sound fancy when I say it. Paradigm shift. It's a change in perspective. We were created in God's image, as we stated earlier, for the purpose of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. All other things that we do are opportunities God's placed us in to spread that good news. You've been gifted in your jobs. Why have you been gifted that way? Because there are people in your area of influence that need Jesus. Some of us have been had the opportunity to parent. Why? To influence our kids in the way of Jesus. Some are great friends. Why? Just to be a good friend? Hopefully to influence. Everything has to do. If this is a blink of an eye and we're living, why would you live for a blink of an eye? Why would you see how much money I can make or how much popularity? How good can I be? The very center purpose is our eternity. There's eternity in heaven. There's eternity in hell. God has called us. He desires for us to be with him. And so understanding that very God for your life is essential. So I love this. There's physical benefits. There's success in prayer. There's spiritual insights that you'll get in fasting. But the desire is, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to understand you better, to understand my call better. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. You ever really think about that first verse? Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's within us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, led Jesus to the wilderness. To what? Does that make any sense? Why would the Spirit lead anybody into temptation? There was a step. It was going to be a hard step for Jesus, but he needed to overcome this. So the Spirit led him into a place, but he led him to a place of fasting and prayer. Do you know where Satan screwed up? This is just Matt Sanford talking. When did Satan try to tempt Jesus? At the end of the fast. Jesus had on his own accord plugged into God for 40 days. Imagine I've been on a 40-day fast. You're really hungry through day three, I can tell you that. It actually gets better after that. But you get really honed in because you're constantly reminded of what you're doing. And you're praying, and you and God, there's an understanding. There's a level of hearing and comprehending. It's just heightened because the noise of the world it's not as loud. So Satan comes to him after 40 days, thinking that he found him at his weakest point, yet he found him at his strongest point. And Jesus refuted Satan using Scripture because he was at a spiritual place where the noise, it wasn't as noisy. Anyone love God, but the noise gets to you. The voice of the world gets to you. The different thoughts and beliefs and how you should think and who you should love and how you should love them. And if you act like this, you're not loving them and you need to act this way. It gets noisy. But Jesus put him and himself in a place where Satan didn't even understand it. He came to him at his strongest point, although he was weak physically. In experience of his fasting, we are not so much abstaining from food as we are feasting on the Word of God. Man, I love that. Fasting is feasting. It's an oxymoron. And while you're thinking, wait a second, you're starving to death, but you are spiritually in the presence of God with these less distractions. Experience of fasting, we are not so much abstaining from food. I like the way they put that, because not so much. You are abstaining from food, but it puts priorities. The priority isn't that you're not eating. The priority is that you're spending time with God. And what helps you do that, take that off your mind, is a constant reminder of something you do every day is being replaced by something that we need to do. Anna, a prophet, was there, also there. Basically, Simeon had come to Mary and Joseph. God had spoke to him. They're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Messiah. Anna just knew this through prayer. So she's coming. She comes up to Simeon now, and Joseph and Mary. She was also there in the temple. She was a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting and prayer, with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. She began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Israel. How did she know about that? It was through the prayer and fasting. God allowed her to know something that wasn't known just through her time spent with him. One day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and set them on their way. Barnabas and Saul went on missionary journeys that just changed the world, really. Changed churches, it redirected. And these men, through prayer and fasting, were told that they need to anoint these two. They need to send them out. And so God speaks during this time. Does he speak through prayer? Yes. I will never put prayer down whatsoever. But there is a depth to fasting. There is a sacrifice that we're giving up. There is a closeness when we can remove the noise and the distractions of the world that can just pinpoint things that we haven't heard before, that we're not able to listen to. Meanwhile, and this is a lot of scriptures here, but this puts everything in perspective, so stay with me, I'm just about done. The disciples were urging Jesus. So they're on this long journey. They're supposed to walk around Samaria. Jews do not associate with Samaritans. That's just all there is to it. Jesus says, now let's walk through. Okay, you don't know. The disciples are like, what are you doing? We're Jews here. They walk through. That's when Jesus meets the woman at the well. The disciples, they're starving. They say, hey, there's a town right here. We're going to go get some food. He says, you guys go on. He begins to speak to this woman and share with her things about herself that only she knew. You've been with five different men. Even the man that you're with now isn't your husband. So basically, you're living in sin. But he just begins to love on her. She was so impressed that she leaves, goes into the village, tells everyone about Jesus, and begins to pull them back in so they can hear. So as this is going on, the disciples come back to him, and they urge him, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have the kind of food you know nothing about. So this verse here in my mind tells me that Jesus had been on a fast. The disciples realized, hey, we've traveled, we're starving. They went, first thing they were thinking about to get food, which is their normal thought. They were doing nothing wrong. But Jesus was in a place of understanding because he had been just alone with God, fasting and praying, and he knew there was something for him to do. So he walks a different route through Samaria, finds where God wanted him to be, and just begins to be himself to this person. An opportunity arises because of Jesus' keen awareness that I need to be doing something right now. The voice of God was speaking to him. He was hearing it. Disciples weren't quite understanding. So they're like, oh, well, did someone bring food while we were gone? You look fine. You're acting fine. Man, we're starving to death. You need to eat something. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So if we can wrap our minds, why are we here? Why do we exist? It's actually to do the will of the Father. So if it's to do the will of the Father, man, let's stay in tune to the Father. There's a lot of other wills. We can do our own will. It's going to fall on deaf ears. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. There are people who need what we have. They need it. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought back to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. And I love this because when we focus on the pains that being a Christian brings you, sometimes we can lack in joy. Even let's just talk about fasting. How fun does it sound what you don't get to do? It doesn't sound fun at all. Anyone have like a favorite snack or something that you just grab all the time? Yeah, right. Peanut M&Ms, I'm with you. And so they're always in the refrigerator, and you can take 3 or 4 handfuls throughout the day. You're going to take that away from me? I can't do it. I mean, that's lacking me in joy. It's so easy to focus on that side of it, but why are we doing this? It's not about that. We have to get that noise out of our head. We do this to get closer to God. One plants and another harvests. It's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you get to gather the harvest. That's what it's all about. Your life has been called to minister to others. That's what my life's been called to do. That's what we're here for. Fasting can bring breakthroughs in the spiritual realm that will never happen any other way. That's the most plain, it's a Richard Foster quote from the book, and I just loved it. There's no better way to say this. Fasting can bring breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs, from the spiritual realm that will never happen any other way. So having said all this, what do you do with this information? I want to give just real quick some of my experiences. If you're like, you know, I've never done this before, fast a meal, but don't just not eat. Take time, if it's going to be supper, get yourself alone, outside, inside, that's your thing. Get alone with the Word and just prayer and just spend time with God. Take that time that you would normally eat that meal and hang out with God. That's a start. If you want to fast a meal, one meal, 1 week, do that. But start opening yourself up and making that work. And some, and I'll never tell you, fast 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, 40 days. That's not for me to say. That's for God to speak into your heart. I got in a regular regime for a while. I would just do 3 days a week. And like I said, in the last few years, I haven't done that. I just do it certain times. I can't answer whether God hasn't been speaking or I just haven't been listening. But I feel that he's calling us to a regular basis of getting closer to him. So some of you would start, try a day. Where, there again, it's not about just not eating for the day, but find time just to get alone and hang out with God. Don't announce it to the world, and that gets hard. I've been places where, why aren't you eating? The last fast I went through, I actually worked through my lunches at work because I didn't want to be asked that question. So they just didn't see me in the lunchroom for a while because I just didn't want to. You know, God says, hey, don't announce it to the world, but I don't want to lie. So one time I had a friend come up to me, knew I was a Christian, and he said, you're fasting, aren't you? It was 20 days into that 40-day fast, and I did a pretty good job. And I said, I am. Could you please not tell anybody? Because that's not what this is about. And sometimes there's the other pressure. People have found out. They come up to me, and does it sound cultish to think that you're in a faith that tells you not to eat? I think it does. I think it sounds bad. I don't want God to look bad. So your God tells you to starve to death, huh? No, that's not what he's telling me. But yeah, there is a thing called fast. So part of me doesn't want to describe that. That's on me. So I don't want anyone to know, but sometimes it gets hard on longer fast. I've had people come up to me. The last time I spoke about this, it's been a while. They came up to me and say, hey, my doctor says that I need to eat with my medicines, all these different. Hey, I'm not here. I am not a doctor. I'm not here to say yes or no. Ignore your doctor. Not all I'm saying is God has called us to spiritual fasting. It's mentioned throughout. I don't want you to do anything that's unhealthy to you. But try a meal and focus on that closeness. Don't focus on the not eating. Don't pay attention. Oh, my goodness, you know. Take your medicine. I'm not saying that. But what happens is, and it's probably happened throughout this to you. It happened to me as I was studying. The whole time I'm studying on this, my brain was bringing all these excuses as to why it's not a good idea. Anybody else want to be honest with me? Or I won't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of that. And that's, Satan wants that. He doesn't want a closeness. He doesn't want you to have a clear vision to God. He doesn't want you to hear the voice more clearly. He doesn't want that. So those things will happen. Start slow, pray, and just walk in obedience to God. He might call you to a long fast. Obey it. Drink water. I'm not sure if it's spiritually right or not, but in the longer fast, I would just take those little slim fast drinks, and that was my supper. I drink water, but then I drink that once. There again, did you break the fast, Matt, because it wasn't just water? Let's not get legalistic. This is about a closeness with God. Can I drink a Coke? I don't care. It's about a closeness with God. Do you see my point? But the not eating is a constant reminder that you need to be close with God. So I think that's why I've had people tell me, I'm not making fun. And I can see some reasoning. I'm going to fast my TV show. Okay, I mean, the Bible didn't have TV, so I'm not sure what God thinks about that, but if you're taking the time that you would have in any time we're going to take to hang out with God is good. But if God's calling you to do the biblical fast of not eating, then I don't replace it with a TV show so that you can still eat. I think you're still saying, I want my will to be done over God. So be very careful picking and choosing what that looks like. The fast in the Word of God was without food. Start slow, but please try it. Make me a liar of why I didn't want to preach this sermon. And see what God does. I think the God I know through Scripture is going to be obedient to fulfill His promises and work through your heart and your life. And some of the things, we don't do it for personal reasons, but there are personal benefits. There are things where I can even say, I'm just telling you, I was a better husband through a lot of these fasts. Because I was more keen on how God tells me to treat my wife. I was a better employee because I was keen on how God tells me to work hard. I mean, I just became more understanding of the Word of God. The Scriptures popped up a little bit quicker on, hey, man, this is how you treat this person at the right time. I was just more dialed in. And so it actually affected how I treated the people around me and how I acted. There is power in spiritual fasting. And that's just the truth. So I challenge you to attempt that. If you have any other questions, more in-depth questions about that, how would it affect your life, please talk to me. But it's a spiritual discipline that we don't talk about. Churches don't talk about a lot. And it's because of the sacrifice that's involved. It's worth it. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now you'll open our hearts up to this discipline. You'll speak to us individually, dear God, and just allow us to attempt this at the speed upon which you want us to attempt this at. So I pray right now that this isn't something where we walk out of here, oh, man, hated that sermon. This is something where, my goodness, yet another way to grow closer to you, dear God. Father, I pray that's our heart. You have designed us to spread your good news, and this is yet another way to hear you with clarity. So may we walk in obedience to your word, all for the sake of taking you to our world, not of being weird, not of being over-spiritual. May we be humble and just do this for sake of you. So thank you, dear God, for ears that will hear, for those that are going to attempt this, and watch your faithfulness shine. Bless us as we go. Bless us as we walk in faith in this and tempting this, dear God. And thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you for our place in heaven. We give you praise, dear God, just to serve you. Love you, Lord Jesus. We pray this all in your name. Amen.